Good morning to you out there on internet land. We welcome you to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know that God, through His Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ, has called us with three commands that sum up the entirety of the Scriptures, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. That we are not just speaking it, but that we are being that very gospel. Can I get an amen, church? And today we're going to continue in that as we do every day of our lives. But today we do it in our worship time as I am going to bring to you the sermon that the Lord has brought to me. There's only one way to wisdom and understanding. Now, how many people know what I'm talking about? Every hand in Christ Jesus ought to be risen. Can I get an amen? Because we know there's only one way. And that one way is Jesus Christ. But our world wants us to see all these different ways. And these different ways are ways of man. They are not the ways of God. And that's the difference. The ways of God lead unto life. But the ways of man lead unto evil. And I want to show you something about that very reality. Because evil causes death. But God brings us to the point where we are live. Live to Him. Okay? And it's kind of amazing when you get to see what I'm talking about. And you will in just a moment. But today, I want you to turn to your Bibles. Because I want us to look at where this premise comes from Proverbs, and we're going to be in the 9th chapter. Solomon here is writing, and the Lord is inspiring him, for we know, then we're going to see this, that all Scripture is inspired by God. In other words, all Scripture comes through the power of the Holy Spirit upon men who have spoken that word and recorded it. So from Proverbs, chapter 9, it's where we're going to begin. Proverbs chapter 9, and we're only going to be looking at two verses in this little piece here, because it's from these two verses that we truly build our premise this day, and it's not just from here. This is literally found throughout the Scripture. There are so many places where this is taught, and so many places where God speaks this. But I love this because this is from Solomon. Solomon was the most wise man in all the world, but he allowed sin to infiltrate, and the wisdom of God, he became folly before men because he substituted it for the wisdom of men. When he had it all, he threw it away. But he said this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." We need to understand that what Solomon here was speaking was a word from the Lord. That as we trust in Him, and as we go in His way, as we seek wisdom, we will gain understanding. Have you ever thought to yourselves, you know, I can remember my parents would have to explain things to me as I was a child. And I've done that with Russell and with some of you. And there, you'll be like, yeah, but I don't understand. So then you, in your wisdom, you explain to this person, giving them knowledge. Okay, wisdom equates knowledge. And once knowledge has been received in wisdom, which means you understand that God is in control of all things, all of a sudden you get that person saying, "Oh, now I understand." Do you see how this whole thing has to come about? You have to have wisdom. It has to start with God. God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of God, church? Tell me, what is the fear of God? And I'm literally asking you a question. I expect response today. Reverence. Knowing who He is. Oh, I love that. Yeah, reverence. Knowing who He is. What else is the fear of the Lord? How about obeying Him? How about glorifying Him? How about praising Him and only Him? You know, when I sit down and I start thinking about this and just what it means and who we are, to revere the Lord is to know Him, to know He is God, to obey Him, to respect Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him, and Him alone. You know, I can look at my father, and I'm talking my earthly father, and I can respect him. But am I going to worship him? No. God alone deserves worship. There are things that we do for God, in God alone, because that is what the fear of the Lord does. The fear of the Lord brings us to the place where we understand he is God, and our world does not know him. Now, I know many of you weren't watching. Well, you were watching, but you couldn't really hear very well the video that was playing up here. And one of the things that that video was talking about was, do you realize that there are so many children in our world today that have no idea who God is, who Jesus is? They are growing up in a godless culture. So therefore, they can't even find wisdom. There is no way for them to know wisdom unless we get the word out there to them, because wisdom comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, as our brother Dan Dower would tell us many times. Can I get an amen? Because it is all about the word of God. Life only comes from the word of God, okay? And we need to understand that. When we start looking at what is going on here, and determining what God is doing, I want you to turn to the oldest book of the Bible. Turn to the book of Job. I was going to say Jude. Woo. Turn to the book of Job, okay? And again, we're only going to look at one verse. This is Job chapter 28 and verse 28. Job 28 and 28. And Job here is talking, and he is quoting God, okay? And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. When we gain wisdom, we gain something that brings us to a point where we must reject evil, and that is understanding. Because wisdom is the word of God given to us, that we may know who he is, that we may begin to understand who God is and what God is all about. How many of us had an idea of what God was and what he is before we became Christians? Yeah, in our world called the United States, and when I say that, I'm speaking very smallly, there are so many people that call themselves Christians that really have no idea what it means to be a Christian, because they don't know God. They've never read the Word. And we need to understand God's given us the Word, not to know Him, but to know about Him. And these are some of the things that we need to realize. But when He says to shun evil, there in verse 28, to depart from evil, not to shun it, to depart from evil is understanding. What I want you to realize is, look at that word evil. Now, I want everybody here to spell it backwards. L-I-V-E. Did you get it? When you shun evil, you shall live. Because that's what Satan does. He takes to live and flips it and turns it to evil. And God says, no, turn it back. That's repentance, to turn back to God. That is to fear God and live. Isn't that what he says? To fear God is the beginning of wisdom. And when we fear God, we will live. Because to not live is evil in God's sight. Can you see what Satan does? He is a trickster. When you look at the word live in a mirror, what does it spell? Evil. I want you to think about that. Now, you're all going to go home and get a piece of paper and write the word live and go stand in front of the mirror, and you're going to prove me right, because it's the truth. The mirror shows us the exact opposite. Do you ever notice when you try to comb your hair or cut your hair and looking into the mirror, you mess up, because left is right and right is left? That's exactly what Satan does. He lies to us. He's the king of lies. And he gets us into the trap of evil. But to flee evil, to depart evil, is understanding. And we don't know what evil is until we know the wisdom of God. And that's the word of God. Can I get an amen, church? And when we come to that place, it's then understood. It's then understood that how many people this day are growing up completely and totally godless. If you go overseas and you ask people about God, they'll just look at you and say, who? Well, Jesus Christ and his 12 apostles, you know, Peter, James, Paul, you know, I just start naming the, and they're like, what, huh? Who are they? Because they have grown up agnostic. They have grown up not knowing God because their parents don't know God. And do you realize we're doing that in the United States today? There is a whole generation here in the United States of America that does not know God. They cannot therefore have wisdom because they fear not God. So there is no way they can walk in wisdom. And without wisdom, there is no understanding. Because we will understand the ways of the world, which is evil in God's sight. We've got to put it all together. It is one picture. Now, there are a lot of folks out there in the world. There are a lot of you out there on internet land that may be watching this for the first time. You happen to stumble across our site, and you're like, well, what's this guy all about? I'm all about the Word of God. Can I get an amen, church? Because if it's not about God, it is evil. And we need to understand that, and that is exactly what our world does. Our world wants us to turn away from God, but only God can bring us to the place where we live. Because evil brings us to death. God brings us to the place where we may live. Flip it around. Flip it around and understand. God's word is true. I have a book here that I've been reading, and it's actually a devotion, and I use it. And one of the devotions, and I'm going to quote it here to you, brought this in retrospect to the very thing that I'm talking about today. It says, Christians often are instructed that they should spend a lot of time reading God's Word, the Bible. By studying the Bible regularly, you can gain a lot of knowledge about God, which results in insight. However, the real purpose of reading Scripture is to be changed by it. Can I get an amen? You see, that's the difference. You have these people who will read the Bible to gain insight, but you only gain understanding when you come to the place of coming under it, because that is understanding. What does it mean to understand? It means you come under this thing, okay? I've heard it said in a court of law, when the charges are put against you, they say, do you understand these charges that have been raised against you? And as soon as you say, yes, I understand, that means you are coming under their authority to do whatever to you they want to do. And before Satan, he is saying, do you understand what I've just said to you? And the world says, yes, we understand. And I am God, and therefore we fall because it becomes evil. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, that's my last scripture for today, and that waits till the end. So you're going to wait on that one, because that one is actually from the beginning, and it lives to the end when God will destroy it forever. Because it's where we find ourselves. We are constantly coming under this man-made, this eternal authority that is from ever past, from the beginning of time until now. We need to remember, you know, Satan fell before anything else. Because when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan was already there. He fell from the beginning, before the beginning, before God did this creation of mankind. Satan had fallen already. We need to understand that very truth, because it is that truth that holds all of this stuff together, that God knew all this before he even created us. Satan had already fallen. Because remember, the angels were created before us. He created all the heavenly beings. Oh, doesn't it say that happened before man was created? You betcha. When did he create the heavenly beings? On day two. We weren't created until what? Day six. And it was good. So today I want you to understand, without God's word and without being changed by it, we don't have understanding. And there's so much of our world that has no understanding because they have not wisdom, for they fear not God. And that's why we as the church need to be getting out there and giving out the word. That's why we as the church need to be filling up. I wanted to have one up here and I forgot to get it. And we need to be filling up those shoe boxes because they're going to get out to children who may not have any idea who God is. And they got a gift. Now, I don't know whether you saw it, but on that video, that young lady was holding up a golden yo-yo. Because she received that golden yo-yo, and that's what turned her life around. She had no idea who God was. She knew she had an empty life. She knew that there was no hope in her life. And somebody gave her a shoebox and told her about Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden she had a reason for hope. Why? Because she was introduced to the fear of God. And all of a sudden there was wisdom, and then childlike faith brought forth understanding. And it took years for that all to develop. How long has it taken it for you to develop? I hate to tell y'all this, you ain't there yet. And neither am I. Can I get a praise God on that? Because you and I are a work in process. And aren't we glad he's still working on us? Because I'll guarantee you, he makes every day a hope. He makes every day a glory. I'm going to tell you, every day can also, and I'm going to say this word on TV in front of my church, and yes, I'm a Christian, sucks. Because there are times when this world, it just seems like a vacuum of good. Am I making sense? You know, when we think about, you know, that reality, it's just like, why? Man, today was just against me, against me, against me. And Miss Sean and I were just talking about that this morning. But we get up and go again. Can I get an amen? Because we know God's going to meet us in the day. Because my fear of God will never leave me. Because my God will never forsake me. And in that we walk and we have our being. And through that being we are then changed. And as we bring that word of God to others, we can bring to them wisdom and then understanding. And from that comes salvation. And unto God be the glory. Can I get an amen? Why do you think we sang every praise? Because it is the truth. Every praise is to our God. I don't praise anybody else. I may give you a little bit of, what do we call that? When you give somebody an uppance, you know. I may give you a compliment. There we go. That was terrible. I couldn't think that word through my head. I may give you a compliment, but I praise my God. Okay? You may look at, oh, Pastor was praising me. No, I was complimenting you. We praise God. Amen, church? Because you ain't God and neither am I. And I'm not going to worship you. But I will worship my God, for that is fear of God, which is wisdom, which then forth brings understanding. And today, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy, into the New Testament. Let us see where our apostles have taken us, where the God of our glory is teaching us the things that we need to know, and then transposing them into a living faith into this world, that we may change the world just as they changed the world. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. You know, I think it's funny. If you look at the scripture, and, you know, we all know John 3:16, right? How many other places is whatever the book, 3:16, important? In every book, because it's God's word. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16, let us read the word of the Lord. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Can I get an amen, church? In this word, we have just seen that everything that God gives us through His word is meant not only to change us, but to change those who are around us. That is to come under that word, to understand that word. But they have to have a wisdom that comes from the fear of God. And what does it say about that very wisdom? They are going to reject it. Our world is going to reject it. And they are going to build a whole bunch of false teachers that are going to tell them what their itching ears long to hear. How many of you are seeing that in the world more prevalent today than ever? And that is an amen and an amen. It is happening. And we see it and we know it. And when you bring it about, when you try to talk about it, we're called bigots. We're called haters. Okay? And I want to tell you something. When we were little kids, and you got into an argument with somebody, how did it end? Because there was no more intellect, so we began calling each other names. I mean, am I the only one who did this stuff as a kid? I hate to tell you this, but we're all kids, and we still do it today. Because when we get to the end of our wisdom, what do we use? Words to hurt somebody. Sticks and stones will break my words, but words will never hurt me. Oh, there has never been a more false statement. Because words hurt. Can I get an amen? And they can hurt a long time. But I want you to remember this. They're the words of man. They're not the words of God. The words of God bring us to a place where we will live. L-I-V-E. But the words of man take that from us and flip it to evil. Can you see the points that I'm making here? Brothers and sisters, when we begin to see what's going on, these people cannot live because they refuse to acknowledge God, because they want their sin. They don't want to fear God. They don't want to revere God. They don't want to worship God because they don't want to have to obey God. They don't want to have to walk a life that gives them the ability to live. They want a life that gives them the ability to have fun and do whatever they want and feel good about the moment. Well, how many moments are there in life? I don't know about you, but I'm looking to eternity. And I know that everything I go through right now is all going to pass away. Okay, it is all going to pass away. And what will be left is only glory. Can I get an amen? Because we're going to walk in that glory, the glory of the Lord, and we are going to see it forever. And we will not take it for our own. Do you know that's what happened to Satan? That's why he fell. Satan was the angel of God's presence. Do y'all know what that means? He was constantly and forever in God's presence. He was looking at the glory of God all the time. And he was the most beautiful thing in that glory. But see, he forgot the glory was God's and he thought it was his. Because he was in it all the time. And he says, oh, look at me. The glory was what was shining on him. The glory was what made him look as good as he did. But we need to remember that Satan was nowhere near a picture of God's glory. He just happened to be the second best. But Satan looked and he said, oh, look at me. Look, I'm going to be as God. And he fell. Because he made it about self rather than about God. And do you know that's what he did to us? That's what he did to us. But before we get there, that's the last scripture. Before we get there, we got another one we need to go to. I want you all to turn in the Bible to the book of James. The book of James. Because James says it to us a different way. We're going to be in James 1. James 1. Beginning in verse 22. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. And many of us know this scripture, and many of us quote this scripture, and many of us, you know, we want to use this scripture to pound on somebody, you know what I mean? You know, I've heard preachers use this scripture and just beat on their congregation. I'm not using it to beat on you. I'm using it to prove God's word and to show us that, man, this is what it means. Because remember what I said, reading the Bible, understanding the Bible, studying the Bible, becoming one with the Bible changes us. Can I get an amen? And in that, this is where it comes true. It says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an actual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Man, I love that, because that speaks exactly what I've just been talking about. When you look in the mirror and you think on self, you walk away from the mirror. And I'm going to tell you, this happens to me. Let me tell you how. I look in the mirror and I see this 62-year-old man looking back at me. And I say, who in the world is that? Because as soon as I walk away from the mirror, I feel like my 35-year-old self. I'm the only one that does that, right? But then I got to walk back to that mirror and it's like, where did he come from again? Then we just turn and walk away. But you know what? My body tells on me, you ain't 35 anymore, buddy. But I can lie. I can lie. I can lie. You all know that song, right? We all know what we do. We know what the world does. We know what Satan does. He lies and lies and lies. But when we look into the, because that's looking at self, right? But when we look into the perfect mirror of the law, when we look at the perfect mirror of God's word, what does it do to us? It changes us, that we become what that looks like. Can I get an amen? We want to look like that. We want to be holy people. We want to be changed people. We want to be the people of God. We want to know the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want others to know it, that they may eat and drink of the goodness of the Lord and know the salvation thereof. Can I get an amen, church? Well, you didn't sound like you meant that. At least not to the extent that I said it. I know you did. Some of you look at me like, man, that guy's going nuts. Yes, I am. I was at the mountains for 3 weeks out of this last month and a half. Do you think, Pastor, why do you think I'm all woolly looking? And I got my camo on today. Because I got my camo on for the last month. And I'm telling you, when I go to the mountains, it ain't about killing deer. It's going to the mountain to see my Lord and get right with Him and be in His place and say, Lord, feed this old boy. I'm hungry because I got a flock to feed. And You're the only one who can do it. And that's what we need to remember. You have a flock to feed, and it's out there in your world as you're doing your stuff. You may say, I'm retired. You ain't tired yet. We got a work to do, and we got a time to do it in, and it's now. God did not put you here in this place because He made a mistake. God put you here in this place because He has a work for you to do, and you can do it if you'll submit yourself to Him and understand His knowledge because of the wisdom He has placed in you in the fear of the Lord. You will be a changed individual, walking in this world, doing what this world wants, understanding that in it you're going to have the aches and the pains and the ups and the downs. You know, my sweetie come home. She was down with my babies down there, you know, with Noelle and Emery and Lily. And I'm thinking, oh, man, she had a wonderful time. And I'm like, how'd it go, sweetie? And all of a sudden she's weeping on my shoulder. And I'm like, oh, my God, what happened? Well, Lily's not getting all the attention because there's another baby in the house and I need my mommy time. Does it sound familiar? Aren't we all just like that? But it's so amazing. It's called life. And in it, when we fear the Lord, we will live. And all that heartache, all the hardships are worth everything because they all draw us back to Him. Because when mom and dad fail us, God is always there. Amen? When the world fails us, God is always there. And when we close our eyes for the last time, our hope says, I'm going to open them in glory. And the church says, we know there's no end. But for a world, there is an end. And it'll be hell. And we need to keep them from there. Because when we do, we build our house on the solid rock. Can I get an amen? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. I got this scripture and then my last one, the book of Luke. This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us. We are in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Jesus is speaking here to us. And this is something I want us to understand. He is talking about here the very thing that I'm talking about. And you'll understand it because you already have the fear of the Lord in you. And this is what he says. Thus saith our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who was heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrents burst against it. And immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, we call that the sinking sand, because in other translations, it was building on the rock or building on the sand. And we need to understand that there are many, 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 many people out there building on the sand because they know not the rock. Because we live in a world where Satan has lied to everyone and literally told them that there is no Satan, there is no hell. So if there is no Satan and there is no hell, then there really is no God. Because those two things can't exist opposite one another. And our world literally believes that. I have talked to people throughout my career who have told me, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. I'm an atheist. Really? Yeah, I don't believe in God. Well, then why are you talking about Him if you don't believe in Him? And it's amazing to me because they don't understand. The very thought of them talking about it means the thought is there. So they do believe in it. But they reject it. They reject Him. You see, they look at it as an it. They don't look at Him as a Him. They look at it as a book. They look at it as something out there you can't touch. How many of us can touch God every day of our lives? Because He touches us. Can I get an amen? And we need to understand that Satan perpetuated this very lie all the way from the beginning. And this is what I'm getting at. And this is what Jesus spoke here. Jesus is telling you, you know, you call me, you people who are looking at me, you call me Lord, Lord. Well, if that is so, then why aren't you doing what I told you to do? How many of us are doing the same thing and expecting different results? And that same thing is not following our Lord Jesus Christ, is it? And that goes for you folks out there too. Many of you don't even know that you're not. If you're on here for the first time and you happen to stumble on, number one, you probably aren't watching this long because we're about the end of the sermon. But if you've stuck around to this point, praise Jesus, because you're getting to the point of it all. Because the reality is, this very thing we're dealing with has been here since the beginning. You all know that? Since Genesis. Turn there, chapter 3, last scripture today. Last scripture today, Genesis chapter 3. You see, Satan understood something because it happened to him. And we have had it happen to us. And in it, we find ourselves. And I literally mean what I just said. We find ourselves. Let's read the word. From chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband who ate with her. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Now, folks, I want you to see something here. Satan says that you will be like God. Up until that point, all we knew was God. We were in innocence. They truly had the fear of the Lord. They knew God. It was all they knew. They didn't know themselves. They knew God. But what Satan said to them was, as soon as you know yourself, you'll be like God, because God knows himself. And he understands self. So once you become self-aware, do you understand that's the difference between us and all the animals of the world? Animals are not self-aware. A horse is a horse, but it doesn't know it's a horse unless it's Mr. Ed. I got a whole bunch of people out there going, "What?" When we become self-aware, free will, all of a sudden we are like God because we can choose. And the God of me, myself, and I came into existence when Adam and Eve became self-aware. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. How do you know that? What does the Bible say? Look at verse 7. Remember what 7 stands for? Now, I know we put these verse numbers in here, but I think this is one time it's actually a good number. Verse 7 in chapter 3. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. They became self-aware. They became aware of me. All they knew was him. They didn't see themselves. They didn't see that they were where they were. They didn't see anything else. They were in the age of innocence. As soon as they became self-aware, evil came in. And from evil comes what? Death and separation from God. Can you see this very thing? Satan knew that if I can get you to reject the fear of God, reject wisdom, you will turn to evil, and I got you. Folks, it's been going on since the beginning of time. And it's going to continue. But we are told that we are to repent, to turn from our sin, and to turn from to the Lord. That is to come under Him, to understand, because we have the fear of God. Our world needs to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And from wisdom we gain knowledge, and from knowledge we gain understanding. Do you see how it works? And I pray that today you will help me. You will become, as Paul said, those evangelists out there preaching and teaching the word simply by being who you are. And when people give question, you will simply say to them, I love the Lord my God. Why? Because I am alive. Because evil, which is to do what is wrong, the opposite of what the Lord calls us to, brings about death. It's that simple. And today we are alive unto God, for we have feared Him and we have gained understanding. Now, how many of us have perfect understanding? Yeah. You know, we go through 12 grades of school until we graduate, and then we think we're all done, right? Well, I went on and I got my bachelor's degree. That was 4 more years. Man, I thought I was smart. And then I realized, man, I'm pretty dumb. I need more. So I went back and I got another 2.5 years and I got my master's degree. And you know what my master's degree taught me? I am so stupid. The more I learn, the dumber I find myself. Because I used to think I knew it all. And now I'm realizing the more I do learn, the less I know, because I can't hold it all in there. And the older I get, the harder it becomes. I swear I've forgotten more than I will ever remember. But praise be to God, the one thing I won't forget is Him. I will fear Him till the day I die, and in that I'll live. Why? Because the fear of the Lord keeps us alive, L-I-V-E, because when we do evil, we die. And I want you to remember that. Live. Don't do evil. Turn from evil and live. It gets that simple. Fear the Lord your God. Understand His ways. Be changed by them. And through that, help change the world around you. Evangelism doesn't mean you have to go out there and knock on doors. Evangelism simply means be a Christian in a world that isn't or thinks it is, but let them see the difference. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the wisdom and understanding that only You bring. For only true wisdom and understanding come from You and the truth of Your Word. There was so much more I could have pulled into this, Lord, but that's Your points. That we need to constantly be going back to the Word, to You, that we may live. And we come back because we fear You. We're not afraid of You, God. We revere You, we love You, and we long to know You. Change our hearts, O Lord, that we may live and shun evil every day in the name and in the power of the resurrection of Your Son, we pray, Jesus the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.